So, my dear, the day you have always dreamed of has arrived. The day you become Bride of Chaotica!
Hello, and welcome to Brides of Chaotica, a chaotic Star Trek podcast. I'm Taylor, a bona fide Trekkie.
And I'm Elizabeth, and I know... What do I know? I know that I'm finding that I have a habit of half predicting things correctly, but like a different episode.
Join us as I show Elizabeth episodes of Star Trek that I love, and she has no context but great guesses for, as I try to indoctrinate her into the world of Trill, Romulans, Vulcans, Andorians,
snails, slugs.
They're slugs, not snails. Elizabeth, are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'm ever gonna be.
I was the most clunky. I keep saying the same thing, so I want to try to shake it up, but I can never think of anything in the moment.
That's good. Let's make it clunky.
Okay.
Clunkify it, Captain.
All right. Do you know that my clown's name is Captain Stinkstain?
You have a clown?
Yeah, I did like a clown workshop for like a
week.
Oh,
you told me you were going to do a clown workshop.
Yeah, I like rolled it down in trash.
It was his name?
Captain Stinkstain.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah, no, I like rolled in actual trash, like not pretend trash, like actual trash.
What?
Oh, yeah, it was like my worst nightmare, but the most liberating thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Isn't that how it is usually when we address our biggest fears or like our worst nightmare? It's so gross, but it is liberating.
It was so much fun. It was so much fun. But yeah, my clown's name is Captain Stinkstain. Anyway.
That's incredible.
Anyway. So today we're going to be watching an iconic episode.
Okay.
So our last couple episodes have been pretty heady, pretty gray area, pretty...
Serious, emotional.
We did Measure of a Man. We did Rejoined.
Make that brain think a little.
This is not that.
Fantastic. I cannot wait to just be ridiculous.
This is not that at all. This is going to be pretty unhinged. This episode is pretty iconic within the franchise as being one of the worst episodes of Star Trek ever.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, however, I'm here for it.
However, I stand by that it is a pretty interesting, thought-provoking episode until the last, like, 3 minutes, at which point they insert some pretty what-the-fuck shit.
Oh, that's my favorite kind of shit.
But up until that point, it's not a bad episode. It's, like, pretty standard Trek right up until the last moment, and then it's like, why did you do that?
Awesome. I'm so excited. That's my entire
time. I'm so excited. So we're going to be watching a Voyager episode.
Hell yeah, back to Voyager.
So real quick, just tell me who's in the cast. I guess who are the characters. You don't have to know the actors. We'll get there at some point, I'm sure, but...
Honestly, that would be, I know some of them, but, you know. Okay, so Voyager, we have got Janeway.
Yes.
Okay. Along with Janeway, we have you know, I'm blanking.
Oh, come on. You guessed, like, all of them last week for a different series.
Right. Okay, B'Elanna Torres.
Yes.
Okay. Worf isn't in this one.
Worf is not in this one.
Okay. The doctor that's the... Dr. Mbanga?
No.
Fuck. Nurse Chap?
No, just the doctor.
Which one's Mbanga in?
Strange New Worlds.
Oh, fuck me. Okay. Okay, so the doctor. Okay, here we go. I'm thinking. Come on, Elizabeth.
Who is, okay, let's play a game.
Who is Neelix? Fucking
Neelix is in this one.
Fucking hate Neelix.
So if Neelix is in this one, who else is in this one? Pointy ears.
Oh, not Spock. Spock. No, Spock.
No, same species. We're on the right track.
Am I just forgetting people that are like really obvious? I'm sure people are yelling at me right now.
I think you are forgetting people. Who is Janeway's first officer?
Oh my God. It's been so long. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. I think for last season, for one of the Voyager episodes, I had to record that with somebody else. No wonder you don't know the answer to this. It's Chakotay.
Okay. I vaguely remember Chakotay.
I have like homework for you where you need to go back and watch the episodes that I did with guest hosts.
Mm-hmm. That would probably be good.
Because you didn't watch Resolutions and you need to.
Okay. It's on my homework.
Okay, so I'm going to help you out with the rest of these guys.
Do, because this is painful, and I'm sure it's painful for our listeners.
So we got Janeway, we got Chakotay, we got Harry Kim, Ensign Harry Kim.
Oh, I forgot about him.
We've got Tom Paris.
Ah, Paris, yes.
We've got Tuvok, the tall Vulcan with the pointy ears.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got 7 of 9 is technically in this series.
Look, I forgot about 7 of 9.
This episode is in season 2, so she's not in it yet, so it's Kes instead.
I think I...
Kes is like the short blonde hair, pixie cut woman.
Oh, okay. Yes.
B'Elanna Torres, like you already said. I think that's pretty much it for the doctor. Which you got. He's the hologram. You love him. You love the doctor.
Yeah. He gives me, I feel like, I don't know, maybe we talked about this last time, but he gives me like the butler from The Parent Trap vibes.
Yes, we did talk about that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole main cast. So. Mm-hmm.
And then fucking Neelix.
And then Neelix, yeah.
Everybody's favorite.
He's so adorable. He truly is.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting to get there with him.
You just gotta give the boy a chance. Okay. So stop it. I needed to put deodorant on, okay?
I was just like, why is your arm in the air? I'm like, oh, there's some deodorant.
Okay. Let's jump right in with this one because I'm so fucking excited. Set your timer for 4 minutes.
I'm setting it.
What ship does this take place on?
Voyager?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm getting there.
Like, you're hesitant, but I do like
it. I had to think about the series name for a second. I forgot that. And then I was like, okay. I know that in this one, it's that the ship is named, the series name is the ship name.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, is your timer ready?
Oh, yes. Here's proof.
All right, 4 minutes?
Yep, 4 minutes.
Today's episode is called Threshold.
Okay. Okay, here we go. All right. My preliminary statement here is this is not an ad. So.
Oh my God, I know exactly where you're going with this.
Okay, so.
I know exactly where you're going with this because I was, TMI, sitting on the toilet today looking at my bath mat that you bought me and it said Threshold and I was like, haha. Continue.
I lost 30 seconds from that, so I'm going to reset it.
Yeah, no, that's my fault. Sorry.
No, you're good. It's good. It's important to note context here. So, okay, so our Voyager is going to be visiting Earth in this episode, and they're going to be studying, like, the history, like, human history. And so they're going to go to a... it's not, I guess it's a museum in a way, but it's basically like it has a holodeck where you can visit. I guess you could do that on the holodeck normally. You can visit points in history, but they're going specifically to Earth because there's like a pop-up exhibit that kind of showcases old things from Target. They are going to visit a Target, and this is going to be a Target run episode. It's not sponsored. My own prediction is not sponsored.
Target, if you fucking sponsor us, Target, do.
I do have a credit card with you, and I love you, and I've been shopping with you for years. I am a loyal customer, and I basically will sell my soul for you. Sponsor us. So our crew here has gone down to, they call it the Terran system, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so they go down to the Terran system. They're going to this museum of human history. And they go into, there's like a little pop-up exhibit talking about Target, but then there's a specific holodeck where you can go in and experience the major, like some of the most iconic Target stores.
Mm-hmm.
So they go in, and the first question is, once they all enter, it's, what in the name of capitalism? Mm-hmm. So they walk in, they get their little cart, and they're like, huh, I don't know what to do with this. They start walking around and they're like, you know, we could really use some decor for the Voyager ship. You know, oh, it'd be fun to get a little scented candle. And they're like, but where are these? And then they see a big sign that says threshold. And it's like a little, you know, the little displays that they do seasonally. And so it's got all of the little threshold stuff. And so they go around and they're like, oh, pillows. These are wonderful. Then they go, oh, look, there's food here too next to it. Because I feel like usually the threshold, I feel like the at least in the bigger Targets, I feel like the home decor is usually next to the food. Yes. At least that's the way it is in every Target I've been to.
That's not my Target.
Well, that's my Target. Anyways, so they're like, oh, there's alcohol. Wonderful. Well, I guess maybe not every state has alcohol in their Target. My state has wine and beer. Yeah. So anyway, so they're like, oh, we can get a bunch of pillows and sit around and have a wine night. This is wonderful. And then they go over. Well, and then, oh, what? Who is it? B'Elanna Torres is kind of walking around and she sees there's face masks. We have a skincare aisle. So they go over and then they get like skincare and they get little snackies and they go and get some candles. They have, oh, and they decide, oh, you know, we're also going to get some nice throws to kind of wrap around ourselves. And they just, they're like, this is wonderful. Is this what human existence was like?
Are you just describing what you want to happen right now?
Yes. So, but that's always what I want to happen.
Fair.
I mean, Target, I think it's gotten to the point where my husband, Andrew, is almost afraid of my Target runs because I end up, you know, here's the thing. I do need things. And then I realize, oh, I also need this thing. And so it's just like, it was just, I was being efficient, you know? Like yes. I was being efficient. I'm saving you time. I'm basically saving you money. So they go around. They're like, oh, what a wonderful Target haul. And they check out and they say, oh, and they get a little Starbucks. Also Starbucks sponsor us. They get a little Starbucks to go because every Target has a Starbucks in it.
That is true.
And then what's better is they get a little themed mug. A little Star Trek themed mug.
Do they have to pay for any of these things?
They to make it an accurate experience, they do, but it's pretend money. It's like play money when you're a kid. Yeah, it's a simulation because they don't use money in the Star Trek universe. So, yeah, and so then they go back to the Voyager and I don't know. They don't do it in the control room because that's not necessarily the coziest place. I don't know. What's the cozy place that they can all hang out?
I feel like the captain's ready room would be a really cute movie night location.
Okay, so they go in.
Janeway would be like, hey, let's all go to my little ready room and let's all like hang out.
Uh-huh. And so then they
captain's quarters, because then that could fit people.
Yeah, it's a little bonding. It's a little bonding time. So they all go there. They sit on their pillows, and they have their little blankets. They have their little wine night. Neelix drinks beer because that just seems like Neelix seems like a beer guy.
It does seem like Neelix is a beer guy.
Yeah.
I feel like you just wrote a fanfic.
I probably did. They'll go to Target. Voyager does a Target run.
Because that sounds so cute. Okay. Is your timer up?
I was about to go off. I only went about a minute over.
Okay.
This episode, this prediction demanded it.
So I have a couple questions for you.
Yes, please ask.
Do you know the plot of Voyager?
Do I know the plot of Voyager? Generally?
As a series, the concept of Voyager.
Not exactly.
Fuck me, I keep fucking doing this. Oh my god, I did this to my girlfriend too by accident. I showed her an episode where it's Resolutions, which we're not going to review on this podcast because we already did with a guest host. Mm-hmm. In Resolutions, Janeway and Chakotay get marooned on a planet together and Voyager leaves them. And leaves them there, and they're like, hey, if you can figure out how to, basically, they have this sickness. It's a whole thing.
Oh.
Not important. It's necessary. Voyager didn't just fucking ditch them. They had to. So, yeah. And I was watching that episode with my girlfriend, and she was like, wait, I have a question. And I was like, oh, yeah, what's up? And she was like, why are they so sad that Voyager is leaving? What? And I was like, oh, you don't know the concept of Voyager. So, the concept of Voyager as a series, my apologies for not mentioning this prior, Voyager is stranded 70,000 light years away from Earth.
Oh, okay. No, you have mentioned this, but I just forgot.
Okay. Because you said that they were in the Terran system, and I was like, bitch, how'd they get back to Earth? Because the plot of the series is trying to get back to Earth. And if this is the episode where they just popped up and we're like, oh, it's all fine, we're in Earth now. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I told you because I definitely forgot to tell my girlfriend. And she was like, why is everybody so sad right now? And I was like, oh, because they may never see each other again. So as long as you know that, that's what's important.
I needed the reminder, though, because I truly had forgotten.
Okay, perfect. And that is kind of essential to today's episode.
And that makes sense that, you know, you get back to Earth after a long time. The first thing you would do is go to Target. Honestly?
Target and In-N-Out, honestly.
Oh, In-N-Out. In-N-Out, sponsor us. I am such a hoe for In-N-Out. And not even in, I am sorry. I would love to hear someone explain to me why that isn't the best hamburger, fast food-wise.
Fair.
You can't argue it. It just is it's a truth. It's just true.
Okay. I also asterisk love In-N-Out.
Yes, it's so good.
I'm a vegetarian, so I can't eat the burgers anymore, but their fries are, their milkshakes are. Anyway.
The milkshakes are so good.
Strawberry, Neapolitan. Anyway.
That's what Andrew likes. He likes the Neapolitan shake. I do not like strawberry. I get chocolate only. Anyways.
I get that. Okay. So, important things to know for this episode.
Okay. They're so far away from Earth.
They are so far away from Earth. The whole plot is trying to get home. Who is Tom Paris? Do you know any Tom Paris lore?
He is a man.
Correct.
That is on the ship.
So you don't know any Tom Paris lore?
We've encountered him before. And I'm trying to reach into the recesses of my brain.
It's okay. I don't think any episode we've watched has really focused on him at all. This is going to be the first one.
Okay.
Tom Paris.
Is the founder of Target.
Will you stop talking?
Okay. Quiet time for Elizabeth.
Tom Paris. His dad is a Starfleet admiral.
Okay.
Tom Paris was in prison before Voyager, the show.
Okay.
he did some shady stuff, but because of that, and he's a really good pilot, like he's one of the best pilots in the fleet. So Janeway went to this penal colony where he was and was like, hey, you're coming with me. I pulled some strings. You're going to come on this mission with me. Now, they didn't know that they were going to get stranded 70,000 light years. That just happened because of an alien species. We'll watch the pilot at some point.
Okay.
So it was supposed to be a short mission, but now he's like integrated into the crew. So he was supposed to be just an observer and to help with like information.
Okay.
But obviously now they're stuck. He's officially the pilot. So that's important. His dad is the admiral. He's a really good pilot. Before this, he was a criminal.
Hell yeah. Not to the criminal part, but for the, you know,
all the hiring.
Integration into society.
He needed him because he had ties to the thing that they were like investigating. And so he had information. And she also knew him. So that is who Tom Paris is. This is a Tom Paris episode. So I felt like it was important to tell you. That
automatically makes me like him so much more.
There's like complicated things for why he was in prison. I think it was because somebody like died under his, like something happened.
Oh, that's
but basically his character arc throughout the series, and like you'll catch on, is that he's the fuck up who fixes his life on Voyager, essentially.
I love that.
Yeah, so one issue that I have with Tom Paris is not Tom Paris himself. It's that people don't acknowledge what a big character arc he had.
You
always see him as the playboy, and I'm like, you guys, by the end of the series, he is no longer a playboy, he's a family man. So
I love that. I love a good character arc like that. Yeah.
So we'll get to kind of see a piece of that today. It is still season two, so it's fairly early on.
He's still a little playboy.
He's still a little playboy. He's still a little rough around the edges, but
it's okay.
Honestly, I personally love Tom Paris. He's one of my favorites. But yeah, that's Tom Paris lore. So I just wanted to give you that information before we dove in so that you kind of had a little bit of context, but they explain more of the other parts.
Cool. But,
because they talk about warp.
Okay.
You know, that's what makes engine go fast. It's like hyperspeed.
Yeah, engine go fast because warp.
Yeah, warp is equivalent to hyperspeed. But in Star Trek, you can't go past a certain speed because it gets dangerous. Okay.
So they do have an intergalactic speed limit.
And with that, it's more of this physics thing, I think. It's less of a speed limit and more of a...
It's the laws of nature, and Mother has very strict laws.
With that, I release you to watch Threshold, one of the most iconic and hated episodes of Star Trek.
I feel like I'm going to love it. Oh, Siri.
Siri was like, what is the worst episode of Star Trek? Spock's brain. I guess we're going to add that to the list. Anyway. Fun fact about Taylor. I historically love quote unquote worst episodes because I don't think they're bad. I think they're fun and campy. And what is Star Trek if not fun and campy? Anyway, with that, we'll be right back. Text me when you're done.
I will.
All right. All right, we are back. We are back from watching Threshold.
We're back. It was admittedly not a Target run.
No. So I want to start out by saying this. When this podcast, when I was thinking of this podcast, of having Elizabeth come on here and talk about Star Trek with me, breaking the threshold was one of the options of a title. Like,
really?
I don't know if you remember this, but I have sent you pictures of those lizards before at the end.
Oh my God, you have.
Because my initial thought was to have you and me be the lizards and have that be like our logo. Like I wanted our podcast to be about Threshold. Like it wasn't originally, it was not Brides of Chaotica. Originally it was Breaking the Threshold.
Oh my God. That's incredible.
But I don't know why I changed that. There just wasn't as good of a ring to it.
Yeah. Brides of Chaotica, I think is just a little better.
It works really well, but I did send you pictures of the fucking lizards.
I remember now that you
sent you pictures of Janeway in the hospital gown. Like it was fully, fully on the table. In its earliest inception, this podcast was based around Threshold. So now that you've seen the episode.
Oh my God.
So
what the hell?
I don't even know how to dive into this episode. So what did you think?
Yeah.
So
I got your body gore trigger warning about the moment that I noticed it. The moment I was like, oh, that's why. Yeah. The peeling skin and then the, you know, ugh. Because I thought at the beginning, I was like, oh, this isn't that bad. Like, it's just, he's got like lines on his head. Like, you know, it just looks like kind of veiny. And then they like flash, they like go away for something in the second to like, I think what's going on, like on the bridge, like they're trying to figure out. And then you go back to medbay and suddenly it's so much worse. So much worse. And I'm like, I'm going to throw up. The thing that I noticed the most is the pulsing in his brain. Did you notice that?
No.
I rewatched the episode and absolutely noticed that.
Oh my God, did you not?
I just noticed like flappy skin moving.
So there's flappy, but it's because his entire like cranium, cranial, I don't know. His entire brain is just, I'm assuming it's his brain, is just kind of pulsing.
Pulsing.
Ooh. On both sides. It's like kind of undulating and it's nasty as hell.
Yeah, no, I meant that because there's a lot of body horror in this episode that I like forgot to tell you about during the intro, but like as the second we hung up, I was like, oh fuck, this guy's fucking tongue is about to fall out. I need to tell her.
Pulls his tongue out. I literally made my like I literally got like the retching. Oh God, it was nasty. But, so I had no idea where the episode was going. Especially those last few minutes.
We're going to save the last few minutes.
We'll save that.
Fully going to save the last few minutes because the last few minutes are both my least and most favorite parts.
I think honestly, it's iconic. I don't think I can forget that, but we'll get to it.
We'll get there.
Yeah. So initially, the scene at the beginning, honestly, when they're talking with Neelix, they're like trying to figure out how to go like warp 10. And Neelix is like, hey, I'm not dumb. Like, explain it to me. And then they're talking. I think it's Kim and Paris, right?
And B'Elanna. Well, B'Elanna's at the table and then Neelix is like, there's cookies in there somewhere. And she's like, okay, fuck me, I guess. I guess I'll go get them.
Yeah, yeah, so that's what it is.
Yeah.
She walks away. And then it's just the three of them talking, like Kim, Neelix, and Paris. And Kim and Paris are like going back and forth, like off of Neelix answering or asking questions. And they like kind of figure it out like because of that, because they're having to think about it. But then when they like walk away from the table and Neelix is just left there, he's like, I didn't understand any of that. And it's just like,
oh,
yeah, he's still, I don't love him, but I'm like, okay, you know, he's kind of,
that's what I mean is like, he grows on you. He
grows on you like a fungus.
He's like the non-scientist, like relation man, you know what I mean? You know how there's always that character like in a magical world that has no idea about the magical world,
and yeah,
they're kind of a device in order to explain it to the audience. Like that's kind of Neelix's role sometimes, but also he's just like a funny guy.
Yeah, I still don't like his little hair situation.
You don't have to like his little hair. I don't like his little hair situation.
It just is kind of icky, but that's okay. You know, we can't all... Sometimes you just look icky, but you know, so...
Sometimes you just look icky. You
just look icky. Honestly, t-shirt. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Then they're like, okay, we're going to do this thing. We're going to try and get to warp 10. They're talking about how, like, basically it's a, you know, if they could feasibly do that, like they could potentially like get back to Earth. Cause you can exist at all.
So fast.
Yeah. And like, what'd they say? Like a press of a button or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick. That'd be great if that works.
Cause they have the thing at the beginning of the episode, that like little thing on the holodeck.
Oh yeah, that's how it opens.
Like I love that opening because it's so cute, because they're just all there like theorizing and like they're like playing, and you're like, oh no, is he gonna like, what's happening? And then it just like cuts and he's just like sitting on the ground.
And Talana goes, You're dead.
And it's like, I feel like that's like every pilot simulation ever, when like they fuck up and then like the people are like, well, you fucking blew yourself up. So no.
Let's try it again.
Yeah, which I love.
That was funny. And then they're like talking about, okay, if we were going to do it this way, you know, this is like how we could test it. And they're kind of figuring out the logistics there. And then Janeway, she like goes into Paris's like room, and is like, hey, you know, the doctor has concerns about you doing this run because of this like 2% risk. And Paris is like, no, I'm going to do it. Like, I need to do this, you know, it needs to be me.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, I don't know if that point, maybe some of it was like ego driven, but then also some of it seems like is, you know, again, based on his background and like knowing kind of his history and lore now.
That's why I wanted to tell you like, what was going on with him like prior, because I feel like it is kind of like important and tells you kind of why.
Yeah, it's like important. His motivation.
I'm sure part of it's ego driven, but because he's a straight white cis male, so of course part of it is ego driven. But like, it's also like when you've spent your entire life being known as a person that you don't want to be known as, and so you're reaching for something to like fix it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was I was like, okay, like I get it, dude. And then I forget who says this too. Someone was like, oh yeah, you'll be joining like Orville Wright and Neil Armstrong and someone else. I feel bad. I don't remember the other name.
It was the Wright brothers.
The Wright brothers. Yeah, well, Orville and something Wright.
I was like, oh, Zefren Cochrane. You don't know him.
No, is that like someone from the Star Trek universe?
Yeah, that's the guy who like invented warp.
Oh, cool.
For, like, on Earth, at least.
Yeah, because Paris goes, like, not a bad group of guys or something. Like, not a great, bad group of people.
And
or
he's like, I like the sound of that.
Oh, yeah, I like the sound of that. Yeah.
It was Janeway who was saying it, and she's like, yeah I thought you might.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
That was funny. So then he goes on his little, you know, zip-zip mission.
What are we talking about, Elizabeth?
Put him in the little shuttle, and they monitor him and have him go warp 10. And he's able to do it successfully without the thing exploding, like the ship or the little, what, I don't know what he's on, like a little shuttle.
Yeah, so they're on the shuttlecraft, and like what was happening in the simulations is that the nacelles kept getting pulled off the ship.
Yeah. I don't know what a nacelle is, but basically something was happening and the ship wouldn't stay intact.
Yes.
So they were able, and that was part of the discussion at the table with Kim and Neelix at the beginning, is they're like, what was it? Maybe it's not the nacelles pulling away from the ship, but the ship pulling away from the nacelles. It's like, I was like, is that not the same thing? But okay. But whatever, they figured it out. So they send him on his little zip-zip mission in his shuttle. And they're like tracking him like in the Voyager best that they can. They're kind of following along. And And then, you know, obviously he's going so fast, they kind of like lose his range. And so they're just like tracking him from a distance.
Yeah, because he does it. Because it's like in the Star Trek universe, you can't go past that because of, well, we see why.
Yes, we see that's why. So anyways, and then like, they're like, oh, where the fuck did he go?
My
like,
favorite moment, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, do it.
One of my favorite moments in this whole episode is when he actually goes to warp 10 and then it cuts to Harry and Harry just says, yes. But it's like the most, it's like the least enthusiastic yes ever. It's not like, yes. Like if you just went warp 10 and broke like a scientific theory, like I feel like you'd be like, ah! And he was like,
oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Tiniest, most little yes ever.
Oh gosh, that's funny. Yeah, that was good. Oh yeah, and then so they're like looking around. I'm like, oh, hopefully he comes back. Like we lost him, and then suddenly I think they I don't know if they get like a signal that starts beeping back to them or something. I think
he comes back somehow.
Yeah, like. Yeah, and they're just like, oh, suddenly he's back. And so then they, you know, he gets back on the ship and, you know, everything seems fine. And he, except the fact that he, like, passed out, right?
Yeah, like, he's, like, asleep in sick bay, which is so funny. The doctor has so many good one-liners in this episode.
I wish I'd written them all down.
So sassy. He's so sassy throughout this whole episode.
I'd forgotten why I liked him, but I remembered after watching this episode.
He's so funny because he's just so like dry. And yes. Like Jane was like, well, can you wake him up? You expect him to pull out like a hypo spray and inject him or whatever. And instead he's just like yells at him to wake up.
Wake up!
And Janeway's like got the best eye roll. She's just like, okay, I could have fucking done that. That's all you were gonna do, like, geez.
Funniest thing ever. Yeah, I'd forgotten how much I liked him. Yeah, I remember why he's one of my favorites. So, yeah, so they wake him up, he's doing fine, and then I don't remember exactly what the first moment, like, is it, oh, yeah, so then he goes to the...
He immediately starts talking about, he's like, is everything okay? What's happening? Like, Alana Torres comes in, and he's like, what's up? Like, let's do, like, he's immediately, like, down to business, let's do this again.
And he was like, oh, yeah, I was in, like, all places at once, it was incredible, it's, like, nothing I've ever experienced, and he's like, like, obviously, like, incredible things, and
he's
and
speaking,
so...
like, a man who has seen God for the first time.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And it is wild. And then he goes to the cafeteria, or like the, I don't, do they call it the cafeteria? What exactly?
The mess hall.
Mess hall. Okay. They go to the mess hall. He goes to the mess hall and then he's sitting there with B'Elanna and Neelix brings over this coffee. This like what?
Call it? The Paris blend.
Or the Paris
Delight, right?
Paris Delight? I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it's the Paris Delight. And Paris is immediately like, that is the most gross thing ever. Like, ew, that's disgusting. However, I think that is supposed to be like the first clue that something's wrong with him. Because if you notice, and I really paid attention, I don't know why, but like, I kept drinking it and touching it and like interacting with it.
Yep.
I think to show that she liked it and didn't think it was gross.
Yep. Yep.
And like Neelix on the ship, he's known for having like bad food. Like his, like people don't always, I think he only gets complimented on his food like 2 times throughout the whole series.
I do remember something like that.
So the fact that she's like, keeps drinking this thing, I think it's supposed to show you that the Paris is the weird one when normally it that wouldn't be the case.
It was funny. The face he makes, he's just like, it's like the worst thing he's ever tasted, and it's so fun. And then suddenly, you know, they're talking and then suddenly he just like basically just collapses,
like fucking keels over.
Yeah, and just then the little like
little veins.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh no.
Something. Yeah, that's when the body horror starts and it does not stop.
No, it literally doesn't stop until the last scene. And yeah.
Okay, have I told you that B'Elanna and Paris end up together?
I think we
we've talked about it before.
Yeah, and I think one of the episodes that we watched it was when they were like kind of together.
Yes. I think Macrocosm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't watched Macrocosm yet.
I don't know. I don't remember which one it was.
What episode? Oh, hold on. Give me a second. But what I was going to say while I look this up is that I love that this episode kind of shows how B'Elanna is starting to, like, care about him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, scientific method when they're, like, making out and stuff.
Oh, yes.
With the like invisible aliens. Yeah. So you know that they end up together. So this is one of the first episodes where they kind of start showing interest in each other. Right now it's very friendship oriented. It's very much like, but if you'll notice, Harry Kim doesn't come running to sick bay when Paris is injured.
Yep.
Harry Kim isn't doing calculations with Paris right after. Like, and maybe he's on duty. However, B'Elanna Torres is the one who, like, keeps running back to him during this episode. And I just thought,
It is. It's very cute. It's very, like, friendship goals, but also, like, relationship. It's very cute.
They are such a good example of, like, true friends first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, annoyed with each other, but fall in love kind of situation. They're so cute. I love them.
It is. I like the relationship. And I think initially I'd kind of forgotten just the general background for them. But then I saw them, like, kind of starting to interact. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember something happens with these two. Yeah,
they're so cute. And I love that aspect of this episode. It's very small. It's very minor. It's definitely not the point of the episode. But I love that B'Elanna's just, like, she's there.
She's just there.
She runs to sick bay. She, like, freaks out when he falls on the floor and calls, like, the medical team.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry. I'm, like, talking with things off camera. Ugh. It's just very cute.
It is. I liked it a lot. And so, okay, so then they bring...
Yeah,
so he gets brought to sick bay. And... like, suddenly, like, the veins are way worse, but he still looks, like, normal-ish.
He's a human still.
Yeah, that's true. That's an important point, is that he is still human, and he still also resembles a human. And so, I think that's when he's, like, gasping, and then the doctor's like, yeah, he's having an allergic reaction.
To water.
Water
and also to air. And I just want to, like, Robbie Duncan McNeil, like, his acting in this episode is so good. It just is. Like,
is that Paris or the dog? Paris, okay.
Because, like, throughout this whole episode, he's, like, simulating going through major body changes. Like, puberty times fucking... a billion,
but, like, also crossing species.
Yeah, like, I mean, I know that we find out at the end that it's like evolution.
Yeah,
so it's like he's not crossing species, but at the same time he does turn into a fucking lizard.
That is true. Yeah, that's true. It's not, yeah, technically it's like, yeah, because that's what the doctor says. It's like how the human species would evolve over a really
thousands of years, and he did it in what, 24 hours?
So fucking gross.
And yeah, so no, gross. It's like,
oh, gross.
Just like, hats off. I feel like as an actor, this would be such a fun episode to be that character.
Yeah, sure.
Because I mean, come, how could you not have a ball with, like, fucking, because he goes a little crazy
Oh, yeah. Once he gets to the peeling skin and flesh
stuff. Yeah, when he gets real, real bad. Because, like, so he basically dies.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. He dies. Well, because they put the doctor realizes, like, oh, yeah, he's suffocating. So we're going to give him almost entirely nitrogen to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And which makes sense, actually, because I think, well, no, because I guess animals that breathe through gills underwater, they breathe, they still use oxygen. They just, it just processes differently.
Yeah.
But anyways, so nitrogen based, like for his breathing, they put the little shield around him and then he's like stabilizes enough. But then he suddenly starts like his body starts freaking out again. And then
And I love this moment as the actor / character. Because there's actually a lot of, like, character development in this. I don't know if you can hear that. It's a car alarm. Deal with it.
I guess a little bit. It's fine. Oh, he talks about his bedroom.
You learn so much about Paris in this moment. Like, he goes to straight, like, ADHD brain bouncing off the walls where he's just like, oh, my God, people don't cry, like, Bologna doesn't cry. You ever notice that she doesn't cry? That's weird. I think it's weird that she doesn't cry. Oh my God, I remember being a kid and crying in my bedroom all the time. Oh my God, I lost my virginity in that room.
Oh, yes.
And then the doctor's like, wow, put all, okay.
Noted, I'll put it in your file.
And then, like, he really starts to die and he's like, oh my God, pizza. And I was just like, I have never related to a person more.
That's awesome. Forgot about that. He's like, was it pepperoni?
Yeah, or something and, like that. And like like something. I don't know, olives. Some type of olive, I think,
Cavarian olives or something.
Yeah, but it's so funny because I feel like there's so much in his brain at that moment after. Because he was, if we think about it, he was everywhere at once.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot. Yeah.
I would also be ding, 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 like crazy.
I mean, that is in some ways what it's like to have an ADHD brain. You are kind of lots of places at once, but not in that way.
But not physically, literally not everywhere.
Physically, literally everywhere. And then he says like, oh, I'd love for, what's her name? I forget. Kes?
Yeah.
Kes. He's like, could you kiss me?
And she's like, buddy.
She's like, I would suffocate. I can't.
He's like, I will literally die if I try to kiss you right now. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he dies.
Yeah. It's so sad. And then she gives him a kiss on the cheek.
It is really cute.
Like, it's sad, but it's cute. But then it's like, I'm also like, I don't know. You know he doesn't die. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm not as broken up about it because, like, obviously he doesn't.
No. And then it's like in the next scene, the doctor's like chilling and hears this sound.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's alive. And he's like, oh my God. But then it's like, I got nervous when he reached up for his hair because I thought he was going to pull his ear off. I got so nervous because I know that his tongue falls out. But I was just like, oh my God, is he about to rip his own ear off? Because I don't
know. That would be disgusting.
I don't know if I can do that, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he pulls the chunk of hair out. And I was thinking, my initial thought is like, what the fuck is happening? Did he go like insane radiation, you know, which like would make sense, you know? And so, but yeah, so then it's like, oh fuck, what's going on? So they stabilize him. They're putting him in this, they basically put him in like a shield. And then I think we go back to like where
he has an extra heart. Do you remember? He starts.
Oh, yeah, what it is.
So this is like the start of his like DNA resequencing itself. And he like, because they talk about it later on that he like starts gaining new organs, so he has like an extra heart, but some of them start to atrophy, some of them start to like
get absorbed. Like, yeah,
it's crazy shit starts happening. There's a sidebar right around this time where we see one of the other like crew members sending the information about Warp 10 to a Kazon.
I noticed this. That actually reminds me, because in the beginning, like earlier on in the episode, I forget exactly what scene it's in, But you see this guy who's in a yellow uniform. I don't know his name, but yeah. Like he like gives a weird look at some point about something. And I'm like, what the fuck is up with that? Mm-hmm. That guy looks shifty. I don't trust him.
He's super shifty.
And then that happened. And I was like, you fucking little rat bastard. What the fuck are you doing?
That's a plot point that you don't know about.
Okay. And Kate, I was like, I don't know what species that is. Cause it was like, I know that's not a Romulan.
Yeah. No. Romulan are not in Voyager almost at all. Only like once or twice.
Okay. So Kazon.
Yeah. So he's a Kazon.
So are those like the big bads for the, no?
They are honestly comically tiny bads.
Really?
Yeah, they are bad at some point, but they're not actually, like, nobody actually is like, oh no, the Kazon. Like, to the point where the Borg's goal is to assimilate everyone, and I think they specifically were like, but not the Kazon.
That's so fucking rude. Honestly, nothing more insulting than that. The Borg being like, nah, we're good.
We want everyone but you.
That's literally so mean.
Yeah, but that's like a side plot. So there's this character, Seska, on the ship. She's a person who like left the crew and joined the Kazon. And so now they're trying to like beat Voyager, and this guy, the guy in the gold uniform, he was friends with Seska, and so he's kind of like helping her on the back end with the Kazon. So that's just a plot point that has to do with other things. It has little importance with the actual episode at hand, but like, it does tell you about, like, if you're watching the series in order, like, mm-hmm. it gives you hints as to, like, what's coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I was like, what the fuck is up with that? Like, come on, my guy. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then... And then we go to the bridge. They're kind of talking about, like, I think what to do. And they decide, oh, we're going to try and put him in the warp core to, like, basically eradicate the mutant DNA and
Yes, that does happen. But first is the conversation between Janeway and Paris, where he starts to like lose his shit a little bit.
I thought that was once his skin starts peeling.
So that starts to happen right after. So at this point, so we see the spy, and then the next scene is Janeway in sick bay where his skin is starting to peel. And his tongue falls out.
Why did I think that happened after the warp? They put him in the warp core.
No, warp core is like the last thing before he like escapes the ship.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So like, there's that long it's not actually, you know, watching it back, it wasn't a super long conversation between Janeway and Paris, but it was like
the moment where
the doctor's explaining everything. He's like, his DNA is mutating. All this stuff is happening.
And he's like, yeah, he's going a little bonkers. Like, yeah, he's not.
Like, you could talk to him, but just be aware.
He's
a little delusional and a little crazy. And we see that. Like, he honestly, this is why the acting is so good, because like,
he played it so well.
Tom Paris. Robbie Dunk McNeil jumps so fast between these different facets of what he's going through. He goes from like sympathy, gratitude, to anger, to
jealousy,
to all of these different things. And you really see him start to lose his mind. But I love Kate. I love Janeway because she's just standing there.
Yep. Unfazed.
Fully unfazed. And I'm sure internally, like, if somebody jumped at me, even with a force field in the way, I would be like, oh god. But she's just like, this fucking guy goes warp 10 and suddenly thinks he's hot shit and you look like a lizard man. I mean, not quite a lizard
man. Not quite yet. But
But then his tongue falls off, and I feel like that's the moment where she's like, all right, I'm going to remove myself from the room. Yeah.
That's the thing that pushes her over the edge.
What are you?
Yeah. Yeah. That was gross. I was like, I hurled a little bit on that one.
Oh, yeah.
It was nasty.
They make the decision to, like, infuse him with the, like,
yeah,
whatever things from the
anti-protons or something, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Because then, like, the next time we see Paris, so his tongue falls out, and the next time we see him, he's full lizard. He's full lizard man.
No, he's not full lizard yet. You see him as, amphibian.
That's what I meant. He's like a lizard man. He's still a lizard man.
Oh, lizard man. I thought you said full lizard, and I was like,
full lizard, but I'm amending that to he's a lizard man now. Man.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
Imagine sitting in the makeup chair for all that shit.
I cannot.
That looked awful. They did such a good job, but I also hated it.
A little, like, almost, not whiskers, but the little, like, feelers that, like, hooked through his, like, upper lip. I was like, I'm gonna be sick.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, and it's like, I feel like once the warp core mess series, like, thing happens down there, then Chakotay and, like, Tuvok are trying to kind of section off parts of the ship to go look for him.
Yeah, because what I really like about how they did the escape is they didn't show it. And I think that was really smart. You just see Kes and the Doctor reacting to the sounds of people getting attacked.
Yep.
Which is so clever, and I think it was so well done. And then, because it makes it more scary when you actually don't see it, and then suddenly this lizard man is loose in the ship.
It's freaky. It's...
And he fucking kidnaps Janeway. Here's where things get a little... We're here now.
Yeah.
This whole part of the episode is not necessary. He could have just gone to a planet by himself.
Yeah.
Turn into a lizard, they could have gone and gotten him, and it would have had the same impact. Please enter the writers being so fucking unhinged that they decided he needed a mate. He needed to kidnap the captain. Captain Janeway. Please have fun just laughing during, because I just need to talk for a second.
Yeah.
He needed to capture her and take her to this planet, and then they're like, The ship is like, fuck, they're gone. They go to warp 10, which means that she then also goes through those changes on that planet / in the shuttlecraft.
Yep.
Which means that Paris spent a day with Janeway just going through this rapid evolution, which is crazy.
Oh, that's true. I was like, why did it happen so fast for her? And then I was like, time probably literally passed.
Well, time passed, and remember, it takes them 3 days to find them.
How did I miss that?
Oh. They talk about it on the ship's log, like, after they're gone, after they go on warp 10, and you see the blurry Janeway where she's like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
You see Voyager, and Chakotay's like, it has taken us 3 days, but we finally located this shuttle bay. So, within those 3 days, she transformed, and then it's Tuvok and Chakotay and a bunch of other people down on the planet's surface, and you see these two lizards and they're like, well, I think that's them. And Chakotay's all like, I don't know which one the captain is. And Tuvok's like, it's a female, obviously, you fucking dipshit. Like, duh. And then you see these lizard babies.
A fucking pistol in the center.
And Tuvok and Chakotay just have no reaction. They're just like, And then the lizard babies go away into the water.
Yep.
And then, because they realize that they know how to fix everything. So
yeah.
The doctor figured it out. They don't show how at all. But then Seth,
I think he basically just is like, we have to put them in a longer extended period.
Yeah, he's like, court. Speed up the process, hire yes, that like situation. That. Okay, and then the next scene, I actually, as we were recording this episode, I posted this picture of Janeway because it opens on Janeway just sitting there, like it's like if you, it's the same energy of. You just fucked your coworker at the Christmas party, and it's the next day of work. Like, that's the energy that it was giving.
It is the funniest fucking thing.
It was just, like, this realization of, like, oh, fuck, I have to talk to this person now. And we... This is my favorite... This is one of my favorite scenes in... Star Trek, because the doctor is basically like, hey, you just gotta chill in sick bay for like 3 days because
yeah,
blah blah blah, sciencey stuff, don't give a shit. She's like, I'll be right back. So she goes up to Paris, and Paris is immediately like, okay. So Captain, like, he's so awkward, and she's just like such an icon because she's like, you know, Paris, I did want to have children one day. I just didn't think it would be with you.
Yep.
And he's just like, I am so sorry. And she's like...
The female sometimes.
Sometimes in certain species, the female initiate. And I'm just like, Janeway! Janeway, what?
Honestly... It's incredible because it's like obviously, like, Paris is supposed to, he's like the smoke show, you know, like he's meant to be like he's the guy, and yeah, to have Jay be like, how do you know it was you, my guy?
Right? She's like, hey, buddy, females have a sexual appetite too, and I just think it's so funny. In case you were wondering,
yeah.
They never talk about this ever again in the entire series.
Do they really not? That's incredible.
It doesn't come up again until, bear with me on this sentence. It okay. does not come up again until the children's series Prodigy, which came out a couple years ago. So I want you to picture from like 1996 to 2022.
Holy crap.
They do not address this in canon until like Janeway, because Janeway's in Prodigy.
Uh-huh.
The Admiral Janeway is in Prodigy, and she says something about doing really tough things, and she was like, hey, I turned into a lizard one time. I can do anything. And that's the most that we get out of her regarding the situation.
That's so great.
But it's I always wonder, so I feel like I'm talking so much right now.
No, that's fine.
I often wonder what would have happened if they brought the children onto the ship with them and applied the same treatment to the children as they applied to Paris and Janeway. Would they have just been little toddlers?
That's a great question, because I was thinking about that. I was like, after the fact, I'm like, so you just have these, like, super evolved human babies roaming around on their own.
And left them there.
Yeah.
Who, like, was it? What podcast? I can't remember if it was the Duras Sisters or Where's Bev or Robbie Duncan McNeil and Garrett Wong's podcast, that somebody was like, I need a Voyager movie and I need the lizard baby children to come yes. to the Alpha Quadrant for revenge because they got left behind. Like, I need that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember, but it's, they never talk about the lizard babies. They never talk about the lizard babies.
I know.
They talk about, I mean, obviously Janeway acknowledges as an admiral that she did indeed turn into a lizard once. But they never mention lizard children, and I think it's funny. I think I posted a meme about it, actually, before we even did this episode. It's... Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
My thought, my brain was going somewhere and I can't remember where it was going.
No, I mean, it might be, I don't necessarily want to say my favorite episode, but I think it might be. Like, it's so gross. And honestly, if I were to write an episode, that's probably what would happen.
You are my best friend.
Yes.
Because how you feel about this episode, I know is how you're probably going to feel about another episode that I love. I love an episode called Sub Rosa, and I feel like you're going to really like that one too.
Okay. I'm sure I will.
I love the unhinged episodes. They're so fun. And like I said, it's really good classic Trek right until they make them have fucking lizard babies.
Like, even that to me, I'm like, oh yeah, of course that would happen. Of course something weird and unhinged like that would happen. And like, I kid you not, I literally like died laughing out loud once that came on screen.
Me too.
I howled laughing. I'm just like, you've got to be joking.
It's so funny because I didn't even remember this episode. Like, so like when I first did the watch through of the series a few years ago for the first time, I had no recollection of this episode at all. Like, somebody was talking to me and they were like, you like Voyager? And I was like, yeah, it's my favorite. And they were like, what about the lizard babies? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't know if I blocked it out or if like the people I was watching it with watched it and I just missed that episode.
Yeah.
It had no recollection whatsoever. So like, there's all this rhetoric around it being like one of the worst episodes and stuff. And then I watched it and I was like, I think it's great.
It's honestly one of the best.
It's hilarious. It gives us the most hilarious interaction between Janeway mm-hmm. and Paris. Because at first you think it's going to be B'Elanna. Like, if he was to mate with someone, you would think he would kidnap B'Elanna because they already have a connection. And I think mm-hmm. it's funny and so awkward and hilarious that they made it Janeway instead. Like, I love it.
Also, even from a scientific, like, she's technically, B'Elanna Torres technically isn't human.
You're right. She's only half human. That's probably why it wasn't her.
She wouldn't have evolved. I mean, I'm assuming she probably wouldn't have evolved the same way.
Oh my God, you're so right. I never even fucking thought about that.
Is there another, like, human woman on board that we're like, we know is a character?
Not really that we know. There's plenty of women, but I don't think. Yeah.
Woman that's like a recognizable character.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But still, yeah. It's still the fact that he chooses Janeway.
And then, okay, but here's a side note that I wrote down at the end of this episode that mm-hmm. I think is really funny. This is a... How is this an episode about self-love?
He's like, mm-hmm. he's not really like, I thought like breaking, you know, I thought doing to warp 10 would, you know, and making this big accomplishment would help me like feel better about myself as a person. And like, it just didn't, it made other people maybe think differently about me, but I don't think about myself any differently. And
literally, dude, when I got to the end of the episode this time, I literally was like, this episode is literally about loving yourself and not putting yourself in danger in order to prove yourself to other people. I sat there for a second and I was like, oh, fuck. That is what this episode is. This episode is not about breaking warp 10. This episode is about Tom Paris learning that he doesn't need to put himself in harm's way in order to be valuable and worthy to people. This is about Tom Paris learning that he needs to love himself. Star Trek does crazy things to prove crazy points, but this is literally, and I will fight people on this from now on.
Yeah.
Threshold is about self-love.
Yep.
Threshold is about self-love, and you cannot change my mind. That is going to be the title of this episode on our podcast.
About self-love.
Because the through line for the, like, oh my God, I can't sit still right now. The through line for this entire episode is Tom Paris feeling the need so deeply
to prove himself,
do something that is service oriented, because he was never taught. You get this. We are ex-Mormons.
Yes.
Was told and taught his entire life that you have to do something to be worthy.
Yep.
And it isn't until the end, and that's a through line. It happens in their conversation with Janeway at the beginning. It happens in the middle when he's going through his existential crisis and he's talking about how his dad, like, made him feel like
always said, like you're going to do something great.
You have to do something great. You have to do something great.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the end and he finally has this moment of, maybe I don't have to do something great, because Janeway's like, dude, you didn't need to do this to be valuable. You already gained everybody's respect on this ship. I'm going to put in your service record that you did this, because it is remarkable, but that's not why you're a valued member of this crew. Threshold is about self-love.
And so is going to Target.
Who's your favorite character, Elizabeth?
I mean, I love the Doctor so much.
You're allowed to say that you love the Doctor. It doesn't have, your favorite character doesn't have to change every time.
Yeah, I love the Doctor. He's just so iconic throughout this entire thing. I obviously, like, I got to know Paris better, which is great, because I honestly didn't know him very well.
Yeah.
And, you know, Janeway, as usual, is just iconic. She really is. She's iconic. And, you know, I hate Neelix a little bit less. And I think that's a win.
That is a win.
I still don't like him.
You don't
but
have
I hate
to.
Him. I hate him less.
That's good.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, Doctor, I think, is still my favorite for this one.
So fair.
He's so incredible. Oh, God, I love that guy.
All right, bitch, take us out.
Well, if you want to email us at bridesofchaotica@gmail.com for whatever reason, go ahead. And you can also find us on Instagram at bridesofchaoticapod. Yeah.
Tune in next week. You flipped the script. Tune in next week to Brides of Chaotica to find out which episode I am going to have Elizabeth watch next.
Bye.
Bye.
Somehow I feel comfortable here.
That's like one of those when they're like, what led to the divorce? It's those banana chocolate smoothie things. We're not getting divorced.